Good morning. We all have voices that we listen to. We spend all of our days surrounded by voices. Some we own up to, some we prefer to pretend that they don't exist. Believe it or not, you're not the only one that has voices in your head. Everybody does. Some we hear out loud, and some we don't, but they all input and shape how we think, how we decide, how we move through the world. Some of those voices come from other people. It might be advice, expectations, conversations that we carry with us after they're long over, or some come from what we read, what we watch, what we scroll past without even realizing how much it's shaping us. For example, from this week, I stumbled across videos of a hat maker in Louisville, Kentucky. Makes fantastic cowboy hats that I can never afford in my life. And Tristan, at the ripe old age of 2.5, apparently has very strong opinions about cowboy hats now. She can tell you, She can tell you that she wants a navy blue cowboy hat. She wants a cavalry-style brim with a waterfall front and back, and she wants the crown to be a pointed coffin style. Anything else, she hates. That's what she wants. I don't have the heart to tell her that hat costs something with a comma in it, and she can't get that at the age of 2.5. But that voice has influenced her. She's learned something from it. We do this. We absorb all these voices constantly. Everywhere we go, there's a voice that we're absorbing. Some of those powerful voices, they're not even external. Sometimes they're just the ones you keep to yourself, that quiet commentary, if you're lucky, that runs in the background of our lives. And if you're more like me, it's the very loud shouting commentary that runs throughout your lives. I happen to be one of those people that has an internal critic. Don't know if you're one of those or not. I have an internal critic. Somebody told me a long time ago it's easier to shut that internal critic down if you give it a persona. And so I tried that, and I just think it makes it more amusing. My internal critic looks like a shouting Shia LaBeouf, if that means anything to like five of you. And he's always there telling me the things I'm doing wrong on a daily basis. And I listen to that more often than I should. Those voices that tell you what you should be doing, how you're doing it, whether you're keeping up, falling behind. The voice that measures, that compares, that evaluates. The voices that tell us what matters most, whether we've done enough, whether we are enough. We don't just hear those voices. We live by them. We respond to them. We let them guide our decisions. They shape our realities. They shape our priorities. They determine what we pay attention to, what we ignore. And most of the time, we're not trying to ignore any of those voices. We're just trying to discern it. We're trying to figure out what we listen to, what to trust, what actually deserves our attention, and what doesn't. And underneath all of that is a quiet assumption that if something is important enough, it will make itself known. That the right voice will stand out. That truth will rise to the surface in a way that's obvious enough for us to see it. And we spend so much time trying to sort all of that out, trying to figure out what to trust, what to follow, what really matters. It is no coincidence that social media runs on an economy of likes and follows and subscribes. That was all intentional language. And that language has been there since the beginning. I mean, if you really want to talk about the original cancellation, the original subscription service, if you really want to talk about what it means to like and to follow something, you can take that all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It's been there since the very beginning. And somewhere in the middle of time, you get this passage from John chapter 10. And I want you to listen for how Jesus reframes all of that as we hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In this passage, there is not just one voice. There are many. There are strangers, there are thieves, there are robbers, there are bandits, there are voices that call, that try to lead, voices that sound convincing, convincing enough that they should be followed. The danger isn't just that bad voices exist. It's that they exist alongside that one true voice. And they don't always announce themselves clearly for what they are. What's striking to me is that Jesus doesn't describe the sheep as confused. There are plenty of times in which the sheep are described as confused. This is not, surprisingly, one of them. These sheep are not sorting through these voices. They're not weighing their options. They're not thinking through cogent arguments about which voice is the true voice. They're not even confused by volume. He doesn't say they follow him because he proves himself in some overwhelming logic or reason. Apparently, you cannot logic or reason with sheep. He doesn't say that they listen carefully because they weigh their options well. He doesn't say that they make the best decisions all the time. Instead, he just describes something so much more simple, so much more unsettling simply. They follow Jesus because they know his voice. That's it. They're not smart enough to figure out what's what. They're not brilliant enough sheep that they can work with the spider to spell things in the barn and the cobwebs. They're not amazing sheep. They know his voice. That's it. They don't know what he says. They just recognize his voice. It's not that these sheep have learned commands. You know, they say that even cats can learn some words and learn commands. They just choose not to follow them because they're cats. These sheep have not done that even. They don't know how to roll over because he said the word roll over. They just recognize the sound. And I think that disrupts how we tend to operate. We often respond to what feels most immediate, most urgent, more convincing. We are a triaging kind of people. Yes, you wake up every day and you triage what hurts, what doesn't hurt. You triage the things that have to get done, the things that you'd like to get done. You kind of categorize your life into the survival triage. We assume that the voice that demands our attention deserves it. But Jesus suggests that not everything that calls to us should be followed. And not everything that sounds right or important actually leads to life. And then he makes the claim even more personal. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. He doesn't describe a system or a method for filtering truth from falsehood. He doesn't tell them that he's presented them with the most logical reasonings for things and that's why they should follow. That's none of it. It's just this relationship that they know as sheep that whenever they hear his voice, good things tend to happen. If they follow his voice, they usually find food. If they follow his voice, they find water. If they follow his voice, they find a place to go where the wolves aren't. Good things typically happen when you follow that sound. The shepherd's not driving the sheep. He doesn't force them forward or overwhelm them with pressure. He's not a sheepdog. He's not jumping on them to make them go where they need to go. He just calls and they follow. Not because they've figured out everything about the universe, not because they know him. And the difference is not volume either. There's a relationship there. The risen Christ is not found by following what shouts the loudest. It's found in the voice that calls us because we belong to him. It's familiar. Belonging comes first. Recognition follows. Christ is not competing in the noise. He's not trying to out-argue every other voice. Jesus is the one who already knows his own sheep, the one who calls them by name, the one whose voice becomes familiar over time, and his voice leads somewhere specific, not into pressure or fear or endless striving, but to life, abundant life. I came that they may live and have life and have it abundantly. The voice we are meant to follow is the one that gives life, which means, and this is the part where the sermon gets a little scary, how many voices have you been following with me that have not led to life, that don't give life, but take away? How many voices do we follow that subtract, and how many voices do we follow that add? If that's true, then it begins to change how we live in this world full of voices. Most of us spend a lot of time trying to sort through them. We listen, we weigh, we compare, we try to figure out which voice is right, which one makes the most sense, which one we should follow. And it doesn't make it any easier that these voices are often trying to confuse us on these matters and make this harder. So we spend more time doing it. Truthfully, most of the voices that want your attention don't care if you actually agree with them or not. They're just happy that they have your attention, because while you're looking there, you're not looking anywhere else. I don't know if you know this or not, but the talking heads on the news don't care if you're yelling in agreement or disagreement. They're just happier they're yelling. And often, the voices that rise to the top are the ones that are the most urgent, the most insistent, the most convincing. Those just aren't always the voices that lead to life. Some of the loudest voices we hear don't come from outside at all. They show up in our own thoughts and the quiet running commentaries that we carry with us. The voice that tells you you're behind. The one that tells you you should be further along by now. The voice that keeps score. The voice that measures where you are against where you think you're supposed to be. The voice that pushes, that pressures, that insists that everything depends on you getting it right. Other voices come from the world around us. Expectations about what success looks like, about security, about things that matter most. Messages about what a good life should look like, what you should want, what you should be aiming for. The worst part is those voices, inside or outside voices, they're not always wrong. In fact, they often sound downright reasonable. That's what makes them so compelling. But over time, they begin to shape how we move, how we decide, how we see ourselves. And the result is that we can spend most of our energy trying to keep up with voices that never actually lead us anywhere. Voices that demand more, and that's all they ever do is demand more. Voices that promise clarity but deliver confusion and pressure. Voices that tell us we'll finally be at peace if we can just do whatever the blank is. Isaac, some parting words for you as you go off to do doctoral research. Have you heard the story, and this, anyone can listen, but Isaac especially. Have you heard the story about the graduate student that made it into graduate school and thought, finally now I can do the research that I want to do, only to have a professor say, no, do this research instead. They graduate, and they think, I'll go off and get another degree, I'll get a higher degree, I'll do postdoctorate work, and I can do the research I want to do, only to find out that the person who holds the grant money says, no, do this instead. So they think, if only I could get a job at a university, and then I can do the research I want to do. They get a job at a university, and they say, well, we need you to publish on these things first. And then they think, if I can just get tenure, if that's still a thing, I can do the research that I want to do, only to find out that someone who grants the tenure is saying, no, do this instead. And so finally they think, I can retire and do the research I want to do, only to find out that they have no time in their retirement to do any research. And so finally they die and they put on their tombstone, RIP, research in peace. That's it. That's the new modern rat race, isn't it? You just keep thinking, if I can just do, and we try to code our lives by this if-then process of, if I can do this, then I can have this, and it just, how many times has that really panned out for you? Or does it just string you along? And into that coding, Jesus describes something different. He says his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Not because he promised you the best thing, not because he compelled you, not because he reasoned you into it. It's just familiar. There was just something about it that felt right. Which means the invitation of this passage is not to become better at analyzing every voice that comes your way. And is not an invitation to become better at recognizing his voice. The invitation here is to learn what that voice sounds like and to somehow miraculously trust that you already belong to that voice, whether you feel it or not. And that begins to change how we respond. It means we don't have to answer every voice that calls out to you. We don't have to chase every urgency or respond to every pressure. We can begin to notice the difference between what drives us and what calls us. His voice doesn't sound like pressure. It doesn't sound like shame. It doesn't sound like fear. It doesn't push. It doesn't demand. It does not overwhelm. It calls. It leads. It names us. And over time, that voice becomes familiar. Not because we've mastered it, not because we're really smart sheep and we're really good at following voices, but just because you've been hanging out with them long enough that it's familiar. In the ordinary rhythms of life, and in mythical moments of stillness, in ways that we don't always notice at first, we begin to recognize something steady, something different from everything else. And we begin to trust it, not because we've proven it, but because it's familiar. Which means the question is not, have I sorted through every voice to determine which ones are right and which ones are wrong? The question is, am I learning to recognize the one voice that calls me by name? Because you don't have to follow whatever shouts the loudest. You don't have to triage your life. You already belong to the one who knows you, and his voice leads to life. Sheep don't learn. They don't. Sheep do not learn the shepherd's voice, not from a distance, not from practice. It's just something they have. They learn it, I guess, if they learn anything, by just being there with him. There's nothing in particular they do. There's no spiritual disciplines that train you up for this kind of thing. It's just you spend enough time with the guy, and it becomes familiar, safe, recognizable. And that's what we are given here in these couple of verses. We come to this table today not to figure everything out, not to resolve every question, not to prove that we've chosen correctly amongst all the competing voices. We come here to this table to be with the one who calls us to be at the table. Don't overthink it. We come to this table to be reminded of what we already know, but more importantly, what we already feel, that we are named, that we belong. Not because we have sorted everything out, but because Christ has already called us his own. And as we come to this table, we trust that the same voice that called the sheep, the same voice that spoke life, the same voice that continues to lead, is present here. It's here the shepherd calls us. Here we belong. Here we are led forward.